On. Good morning, guys. Happy Mother's Day. Today I'll be reading through Exodus chapter 1, verse 8 through 10, and then I'll be reading chapter 2, verse 1 through 10. Now there arose a new king over Egypt who did not know Joseph, and he said to his people, "Behold, the people of Israel are too many and too mighty for us. Come, let us deal shrewdly with them, lest they multiply, and if war breaks out, they join our enemies and fight against us and escape from the land." Now a man from the house of Levi went and took as his wife a Levite woman. The woman conceived and bore a son, and when she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months. When she could hide him no longer, she took for him a basket made of bulrushes and daubed it with bitumen and pitch. She put the child in it and placed it among the reeds by the riverbank. And his sister stood at a distance to know what would be done to him. Now the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river while her young women walked beside the river. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her servant woman, and she took it. When she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the baby was crying. She took pity on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrews' children." Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call you a nurse from the Hebrew women to nurse the child for you?" And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." So the girl went and called the child's mother, and Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this child away and nurse him for me, and I will give you your wages." So the woman took the child and nursed him. When the child grew older, she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and she became her son. She named him Moses because she said, "I drew him out of the water."
Yeah. Good morning. It's good to see everybody. I really appreciate Danny for reading. He did such a good job. For us today, is setting us up with our scripture. I know what you're thinking, or maybe you're thinking, quite a few maybe thinking, maybe Dave's up here for another announcement. Nope. I am here to preach your sermon today. It's so good to see you. I was trying to get my timer out in time for Brogan Parks, because I know he appreciates it, but I didn't have it in time, so I apologize for that. There's a lot of unexpected things happening here. First, I'm here instead of Pastor Joey. We have race cars set up here. I guess it is like a Pinewood Derby of sorts, and so we're looking forward to doing that this week, so that's fun. We had the Northern Lights. Who saw the Northern Lights? All right, cool. You're welcome. We worked that out too. It turns out Tony Krager knew a guy, and he made it happen, so that was cool. I woke up, I had like alarms set throughout the night, and I still never saw anything. But I loved your pictures on the social medias. That's been a lot of fun to check that out. There's a lot of things in our world today, both negative, but also positive. And I would ask today that you'd be part of the practicing of turning your mind to look at the more positive things, to give you more of a perspective on the negative things. Like, for instance, I attended the Capture the Flag event last night at the Wilson's house, and was amazed to see so many adult and college-age students there. We had approximately 90 students come out. And this is just eighth grade to college, graduating seniors or whatever. So it's a small group of individuals, but it was just amazing how many. And they were from all over the county. I mean, we had homeschoolers there. We had all the county schools represented. We had online students. It was just a lot of people visiting from outside the area. Just very exciting. There was a lot of fun, food, and Capture the Flag events, of course. There was also an awesome message. Chad Wilson gave a great message. Andrew Shaw did worship. And there was a lot of wonderful food items brought in. And small group leaders were there to gather the small groups together and have these meaningful conversations. Just a lot of positive things in the world. And after, there was a sharing time where you grab a stick and you talk about what God's doing in your life. It was amazing how many people shared. And it takes a lot of bravery to get up and do that thing where you speak in front of people that maybe you just don't know. But they did it anyway. And to share from the depths of their hearts, some of the honest things that are going on inside their life. So I just am really excited about what's going on in our community, in our schools, in our youth. And I just want to make sure you guys know, at SHCC, you're always welcome to be part of the positive things that we're experiencing in this world. And if you see something out there, you know, that you think is positive, we want to know about it so we can share it with other people, because we're all about wonderful, positive, meaningful things. But we're also all about helping go through the bumps as well, the bumps in life, because this is a broken, fallen world, and we know those are to come. It's not a matter if, but when, right? So we expect them to come. But man, the love of Christ and the grace he gives us to love on one another, the space he gives us to ebb and flow throughout the life's challenges, this is a great place to be. I'm glad you're here this morning. We're going to run things a little bit like Wednesday night, just so you know, how we do youth. Hopefully that's a good thing for you. I started out, I used to put the scripture text that we'd be teaching on the slides and whatnot, and you know, I was concerned, do I need to put it in black, or do I put it in white, or different color, you know, contrasting colors, what size font do I put on the screen? And then there was just a lot of talk like, man, I just don't know where to find things in the scriptures. And so we shift gears a little bit, and I like shifting gears. I don't know about you guys, if you guys know how to drive a stick shift. If you don't, you're missing out. It's a lot of fun. So let's shift gears together. And I just went ahead and put what the scriptures found. And then we just had Bibles enough for everybody, and we handed them out. And we learned how the Bible's put together, and we learned where things are at, and we had youth read scripture. And so I really appreciate Danny. Danny often reads scripture on Wednesday night, and so hopefully that's okay with you. So right now we are going to, if you want to right now, I have a few other things to say before we get into it, but Exodus 2, if you're interested in turning, if you brought your Bibles with you, you can start turning Exodus 2. And if you have your phones, you know, your phones are allowed, and you can bring up your Bible app and do that as well. And we'll be reviewing some of the scriptures that Danny read. Sometimes, yeah, we repeat it often, you know, throughout the teaching time, so it hopefully soaks in a little bit more. I tell you, today I'm going to go a little bit more strong on my notes, because anytime I talk about something that's near and dear to me, man, I don't know, but even prepping, I was totally in the shower crying this morning. I'm not gonna lie to you right now. I was the rest of my family was asleep, so they didn't hear my sobbing. But man, and the reason why I said it is that some of you guys have a really weird sense of humor, and I thought you guys might find that entertaining, because like Dave crying in the shower. See, yeah, I knew it. So I just want you guys to be able to hold on with me a little bit, because maybe what I'm gonna share might be a little triggering for you, and maybe arouse some emotions, but I really appreciate what Chad Wilson was talking about, his message. There's a few things that he was talking about, and he was like, you know what, it's okay, it's good, we're okay. We're in a community of believers that love one another, and it's okay if we hit some bumps along the way. A few Wednesdays ago in Rock Solid, we finished up a teaching series on how to have effective relationships. Friendships, but also dating relationships, because I feel like that's where it's an important place to start. You need to have a good foundation to be able to understand what a good relationship is when things, and have that experience, so that way you'll understand when things go toxic. And then you'll learn how to have established good people in your life, a good foundation when you do want to you know, venture into the dating realm, you know, and so it's important so your whole life's not tied up into that dating relationship. A lot of people just throw all their eggs in one basket, and when that gets overturned, then their whole life does as well. So it's good to have a safe place to fall, to have effective relationships with other people. So the series was called Crush. It was kind of interesting. One of the challenges was to understand that God is the dreamer of dreams for our lives. And if we are interested in dating and connecting with other people, then eventually marrying someone, we need to make sure that that person is encouraging us to live out the dreams that God has for us. So I felt prompted to share this on Mother's Day. May we find a greater sense of hope and strength that despite our rainy day situations or the challenges that come our way, God still has his dreams for us, yet to be realized on our days that we have on this beautiful earth. He has dreams for us, even though our dreams seem to be breaking. Sometimes there's a disparity between the dreams we dream and the dreams God has for us. And it's a really helpful thing to accept those differences. I enjoy a good origin story of where things come from. And so it turns out that Mother's Day took form from the early 1900s from the efforts of Anna Jarvis and memorializing the death of her mother. She meant a lot to her, and she wanted to do something about it. So Anna wanted to do something extra special to celebrate her mother's impact on her life and acknowledge the significant role of motherhood in general. And so Mother's Day was first celebrated May 12th, 1908, in a church, which we are in right now, in Philadelphia, PA. I'm in the company of many wonderful mothers here. And I'm married to a wonderful mother, my children as well. There she is. Yeah. Fathers are awesome too. I'm thankful to be one as well. And they're significant, but on this day, we are honoring mothers. We are honoring mothers, and we're talking about motherhood and celebrating motherhood today, okay? And in many human experiences, we often see through the filter of our own experiences. So on this day, I'm speaking through the experiences of my own mother. Her name was Judy Hilbisch. Her maiden name was Judy Handley. And she was born in Lima, Ohio in 1492. That's when the Columbus sailed the ocean blue. That would mean that I am not. So it's weird because, you know, she was actually born in 1942, but I saw 1492. And that you school teachers are like, wait a second, something's wrong with Dave. We gotta go back and cover a few things with him. She was carted all over the U.S. as her father was in what was known then as the Air Corps, that became the Air Force. And after World War II was done, they settled in La Porte, Indiana. If we could do the next slide, please. It's interesting. So I'll just give you a snapshot that's kind of fun and that has a little bit to do with what I'm talking about without going through her whole story, obviously. She eventually went on to study at Indiana University, down in Bloomington, Indiana, where actually her mom was from, my grandmother was from. And as a scholarship program, she found herself selected to be one of the princesses for the 1964 Indianapolis 500. If you look, she is the second row to one over from the right. Judy Handley over there, okay? Judith Handley, some people would call her. My grandma was pretty formal, and she would usually refer to her as Judith. So it's interesting. The 64 Indianapolis 500, we're about ready to run. I don't know some of you guys keep up with that. I don't know how many we've run. But so you open the race with other selected princesses on a long row of 1964 and a half Mustangs, Ford Mustang convertibles that were released into production for the first time that year. The 1964 Indianapolis 500 race was often noted for this fiery crash that killed two of the well-known drivers we're looking at, Dave McDonald and Eddie Sachs. But there was another bit of info that made this race all the more memorable. There was a young soldier who was drafted to fight in the Vietnam War that was released from basic training in Kentucky, and he wanted to go see this great American race before he shipped off on a slow boat to fight in a foreign land. This soldier was my dad. And little did he know, he was going to marry one of those Indianapolis 500 princesses, Judy Handley, after returning from the war a few years later. And a few years later after that, I came along. I arrived on the scene. I'll go back to the next slide. There's a long row of 1964 and a half Ford Mustangs. That was pretty cool. Anyway, and then we could go back to the last slide. My mom was a wonderful lady that invited Jesus to be part of her life during the Jesus Revolution. If you see, that's actually my mom in different stages, and that's actually me at different stages. And then my sister and my grandparents and my dad off to the left there, and my mom was off to my right. And my sister Susan, she's a blonde-haired lady and lives in Nashville right now. So, with her family. So, as me and my mom playing the piano, I took 2 years of piano, and the only thing I remember is chopsticks. It's kind of weird. So, she became a Christian. She believed in Jesus during the Jesus Revolution in the late 60s and early 70s, along with my father. And at a very young age, I invited Jesus to be part of my life. The significance of who Jesus was so easy for me to see at a very young age because I saw it every day through my mother. Her witness for her Savior. Here I go. Holy cow. I got it, though. I practiced this morning through the shower, and I'm going to be fine. Okay. Her witness for her Savior became more apparent as she battled cancer most of my young life. I learned very early to listen to the words of someone that is close to Jesus as they suffer. And so this morning, I wanted to pay tribute to my mom, but also the other mothers that we will survey the accounts of the mother of Moses as well. Her name was Jochebed. We have just in the last few weeks learned about Moses' mother in our Answers in Genesis curriculum during our Sunday morning equipping hour. Answers in Genesis is a great ministry that we support in many ways, from organizing trips to the Ark Encounter to the yearly pastors' conference in October. We also had Dr. Tim Chafee. Remember that? He talked about the Nephilim, but I was questioning whether he was one because he was so tall. He spoke at our Worldview Weekend, our last Worldview Weekend. We also include the teaching curriculum to resource our equipping time period on Sundays for all ages. The vision behind this resource is no matter what age you are, whether you're a young child, youth, or adult, you can discuss some of the same scripture and the same themes over the dinner table. Pastor Joey just got done preaching about creating routines and traditions in family for your family life that will affirm the gathering and togetherness that we could experience as a family. So a family can experience Answers in Genesis curriculum supported class at SHCC and have spiritual and biblical conversations, whether you're traveling in the car or at home eating a meal as we figure out what the Bible is teaching together as we firm up our foundations of what we believe about God, which is so important because pastor, theologian, author A.W. Tozer once was noted for saying, "What comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us." I love that. Let me repeat it one more time because I get shivers every time I hear it, okay? What comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. And we have plenty of things in this life to distract us from that very thought. So we need to think about how that's orchestrated and what it's keeping us from. Hopefully, we can play a role in paving the way so that what our family believes about God, we can remove as many things as we can to get to that point of discussion, which is at the root of the importance of establishing who we are and who we will become, and realizing the dreams that God has for us. Mother's Day plays a huge role in prompting this realization. Mothers have a huge role in prompting this realization. There are some themes that I have come across and prepared for this day's message that have taken me in many directions. Probably spent quite a few Sundays. I don't know about you guys, but when I go into a buffet, my eyes suddenly become way bigger than my stomach. And I have to rein myself in and understanding what I need to experience. And similar is to what we're unpacking today. So I hope and pray that the word from the Lord can be laid on your heart today that would be one of encouragement, one of hope, and one of truth. Mothering your children, and at times your husband, takes courage. I thought that'd be way more funnier, but maybe it's real serious, you know? Like, yeah, I know. Dave gets me. So, but courage Courage, it takes courage, but courage does not happen in the absence of fear. And there is countless things to fear as they edge in on us and our efforts to somehow raise a family in this hazardous experience that we call life. Our vulnerabilities are exposed. The things we thought we put away on a cupboard that, you know, and close it up so we thought we'd protect it from our family, but all of a sudden they're up in front of us, and we don't know how to, all of a sudden we struggle with our parenting in a difficult situation, hazardous situations. Our vulnerabilities are exposed. Often we resort to raising our families in the way that we were raised, in the ways that we said we weren't going to do, but all of a sudden we find ourselves doing it. And we have all, regardless, whatever that means, however we were raised or what we want to do that's different, the efforts are to launch them effectively into the world, into the great unknown, and that scares us. One of my fears that edges in on me often is the fear of flying. Okay, I do it anyway. It's weird, though, that I have this fear, but also have a fascination of flights, and I always have since I was a kid. This fascination was fueled actually probably in the 1980s or early 90s with these aircraft shows and movies like, you know, Top Gun and you know, then this recent sequel, and then TV shows like Airwolf and Blue Thunder. I don't know if you guys like remember those. Some of you guys are like, oh yeah, okay, I'm tracking. You know, those are just great shows that just really energize you about the mysteries of flight. I was amazed how a flight left an aircraft carrier. And you've probably seen it on TV or movie and tons of times on Top Gun. You know, there's a catapult officer. Okay, they call him. He's known as a shooter, and the shooter controls the environment on the deck to make sure that the jet is ready to leave. Once once everything is ready to go, is good to go, the shooter becomes the conductor on the flight deck, and all eyes are on him. As they signal it's time, ready to go. You guys have seen that before? That jet, man, it just powers up and heads out and gets off that aircraft carrier, you know? And it's even better if you have like a faint music track of Kenny Loggins' Highway to a Danger Zone playing in the background. Man, my heart rate just goes up. And like, oh, man, that's so awesome. And, you know, I just love that. It's something about that guy. Every time you see a jet powering up an aircraft carrier, watch that guy, the shooter, you know, and then boom, it's gone. I just love that. And you know what? I feel like once the jet leaves, it's up to the sovereign control tower. It's the shooter doesn't run down the runway. Okay, oh, you're doing great. You know, he stays put because he knows he'll get blown back in the after he hits the afterburner. You know, but that is like parenting. A lot of times when we shoot forward and want to effectively launch, we run alongside sometimes, and we just like, okay, you're doing good. You know, the shooter doesn't fly with him. You know, he realizes that the shooter sends him off to dangers unknown, much like motherhood and parenthood, but they realize the shooter's job is done, and it's up to the sovereign control tower. You know, he'll take it from there. Because they got to worry about the flight deck to keep that as quality control, make sure other flights are ready to leave as well. So parenting's like that. Family's like that often. So launching a jet is tricky, but so is launching a boat. Okay, I used to live on a lake growing up, and it was one of those situations where living on a lake wasn't that much. When my dad bought the property, it wasn't that much cheaper or more expensive than something in town, you know. So I just found myself living on a lake and growing up on a lake. And it just so happens my uncle had some adults or some relatives living in back of us on a hill, and he would own the property down by us, and there was a little launch site. My Uncle Kenny is just filled with hilarious stories. All where he's like the butt of the joke, you know, and I was real little, man, real little dude, and I looked out, and I saw him putting in the boat, and I'm like, and then all of a sudden, I see my dad run out. He doesn't run much, but he was running, and all of a sudden, I see the boat sinking, and my mom takes me out. I was Davey then. Davey, come on out. And we just sitting there watching. And the whole time I was sitting watching, that boat sinking. My dad's trying to usher it back to the trailer. It just keeps on sinking. And all I could say was, poor Uncle Kenny. Poor. And then my mom, she told that story all my years of her life, and she just cracked up and laughed, and she's like, Dave, you just say, poor Uncle Kenny, poor Uncle Kenny. I just would kept on saying it, and saying it as that boat just blub, blub, blub down underneath. I don't even know how they got that back up, but I just remember launching a boat is very difficult. So let's return to the passage today to the passage that Danny so eloquently read about launching a boat. So the preface to this story, we have Exodus 1:8 that Danny read. Then a new king to whom Joseph meant nothing. We just tracked with Joseph and how awesome God, a situation that God had placed him in to save all of Egypt from famine and the surrounding countries. And for such a time as this, God put him in the role. And this Pharaoh, he had nothing, didn't understand anything to do with Joseph. And he came to power in Egypt. Look, he said to this people, these Israelites are far too numerous. They became more numerous than the Egyptians, and they were afraid about the power over them, and they were getting unruly, and they were procreating like crazy. God gave them favor. Remember the covenant that he gave Abraham like a long time ago? It was coming to fruition, and they were populating like crazy in the land of Egypt. So Exodus chapter 2, 1 through 10 says, now a man of the tribe of Levi married a Levite woman, and she became pregnant and gave birth to a son. Then she saw he was a fine child. Like, man, that's a great, great kid there. So it's interesting. Brother Aaron, you guys remember Aaron later in the story. Brother Aaron and Miriam have already been born before Pharaoh's decree. So Aaron was in the clear. Remember they were saying, throw the baby boys in the Nile. Well, Aaron was older than Moses. So he missed that whole decree. But when the parents couldn't hide the baby any longer, she got a papyrus basket for him and coated it with tar and pitch, a mini ark of sorts. You think about boats built to save people's lives. I think about this basket and the ark. And then she placed the child in it and put it in among the reeds in the bank of the Nile, and launched it into the Nile. In a way, it's interesting. She was almost still maybe finding a technicality, obeying the decree that Pharaoh set out, because she was still putting the child into the Nile, just in a safe compartment as a boat, as it were. His sister, check this out. His sister, Miriam, stood at a distance to see what would happen to him. Then Pharaoh's daughter went down to the Nile to bathe, and her attendants were walking alongside the riverbank, and she saw the basket along the reeds and sent her female slave to get it. She opened it and said, saw the baby. He, Moses, was crying, and she felt sorry for him. This is one of the Hebrew babies, she said. Then Moses' sister, Miriam, asked Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and get one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you? Wink, wink. I know somebody. Yes, go, she said. And so the girl went, and the baby's mother, Jochebed, named revealed later in Exodus 6, Pharaoh's daughter said to her, take this baby and nurse him for me, and I will pay you. So the woman took the baby and nursed him. The woman, Moses' baby, took him and nursed him. Then the child grew stronger and older and took him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. She named him, the Pharaoh's daughter named him Moses, saying, I drew him out of the water. So the Egyptians named him, not his biological parents. Jochebed, Moses' mother, birth mother, was launching her mini ark that would contain the baby that would become a man that God dreamed to lead his people out of captivity. Launching this child in Hazaz waterways of the Nile River. You think about hippopotamus. The plural form for hippopotamus, I want to say hippopotamuses, but I know it's hippopotami, but it's way more fun to say hippopotamuses. Crocodiles, spiders, poisonous snakes. You had the black mamba, and you had the Egyptian cobra. Lots of dangers to release a baby, unprotected baby. And then also the Pharaoh wanted to kill the baby, too. He wanted to rid everyone of the boys, the young boys that were just born. So lessons from Jochebed and Judy. OK, Okay? Three lessons I want to talk about today. Understanding that motherhood is in the midst of trying times, always. A lot of times we are struggling through times we exist in. But motherhood is always hazardous. Always hazardous. And mothers are courageous. They're courageous. Think about the Nile, hostile environment. If you could just kind of go into your mind's eye like a movie and see like a real life event, or maybe like a real life event you just hear about the news, or maybe something you've heard in the, that you've experienced. Have you ever heard of the phrase, out of the fire into the frying pan? It's like, how much worse can it get, you know? And I'm having a child in the midst of this. There's a lot of people I hear out there. It's like, there's no way I'm going to bring a child into this world, you know? This world's always been a hazardous place. It's all about, I guess, your perspective. Positive versus negative. Back to our introduction. So we think about a baby's purpose. A baby's purpose, in this case, in this scenario, this child was brought into a hazardous situation, but this baby was purposed to establish someone else's freedom and love. So remember, it's all about the direction of where are you going to launch? What direction are we at? What direction are we heading our babies? You know, how deliberate are we? And I realize that there's some bumps and bruises along the way. Sometimes we have to shut that deck down. The shooter has to make a call, or maybe the pilot has to make a call, and like, you know what, I need help, and I need somebody to come and save me right now. And maybe that's your story, and that's okay. Because it's God's plan to effectively launch at some point in time, but maybe it's not yet. Maybe that's the word. But remember, mothers are courageous all the way through that. Number two, so we got mothers are courageous. Number two, value the significant power from a praying mother. A praying mother. Jochebed and her husband were from the tribe of Levi. If you know anything about the tribe of Levi, they were immersed in the temple and understand the ways of the temple. Of course, she prayed. She understood the significance of prayer. I tell you what, every night my mom, she would meet me at my bedside as I'm about ready to go to bed, and we'd sit there and pray. We pray about hopes and dreams and whatever was bothering me throughout the week. I could talk with her in the stillness of the night, and then we'd offer our words of prayer. And she would pray. I'd hear her words to pray for me and respond to my prayers. And then when I woke up in the morning, the first thing I saw was my mom and dad woke up early before my dad headed off to work, and they would have a devotion, and they would be sitting there with her coffee. And I think that's where I love the smell of coffee. I just associate it with a time in my life where I just saw two people that I love most of in my life at that point in time gathering to talk about Jesus in their life and to talk about their challenges and sit and pray for each other. And that's definitely something I need to do more of. And she prayed for her family. She prayed for my sister Susan and I. Thirdly, so we got courage, prayer. Oh, man. Thirdly, Jochebed and Judy understood and trusted in the sovereignty of God. The sovereignty of God. So if you could maybe just let me share maybe how I imagine God speaking to Jochebed and Judy, especially when I heard my mom cry out, you know, in prayer, a lot of times when she was in most of her pain, and I was always listening, you know. And so if I could just maybe throw it out here how I imagine them receiving the voice of God in their life. I got you, Jochebed. I got you, my people. I got you, Judy. Even though I might take you from this earth, I have your children. I'm a good God. I'm a good Heavenly Father. I love you perfectly. The times are perilous, fraught with fear. But I am the calmer of the storms. And if I see it fit for the storm to continue, I will be present with you in the storm and in your worst nightmares. And I will redeem your pain for the story of my glory. I've got the whole world. I got all of time, and I have all of space in my hands, and will not let you go. So this amazing story of a mother putting her baby in a basket shows how deep and sacrificial a mother's love can go. She should do anything to save her baby and let him live an awesome life for the Lord. For as Jochebed's story reminds us how mothers have sacrificed to make us a better person, we might not know all of the of our mother's hidden scars or tears. We might not know their full story even. We're at that point in time in my life, we don't care. We just are living our life, living our best life. As often said, maybe your story of motherhood has taken you to the end of yourself. But even when our dreams are falling apart, we can still have hope and trust that God still has a dream for you and your children. No matter how much you're faltering on the deck, maybe it's a struggling takeoff at this point in time. But remember, the sovereign tower knows. The sovereign God knows. We have some gifts for you guys today. We got some gifts for some mothers today. We have coronations from Stones Hill and gift baskets from Bill at Milford Food Bank for the mothers today. So make sure to grab that on the way out. If you are a mother, or if you are an adopted mother, I hope you feel valued and appreciated today and celebrated today. And I hope that this service is just the beginning of your wonderful day or your wonderful week. If you're like me, and your biological mother has passed on, let's honor them and celebrate motherhood in conversations and memories and how much we love each other with a sense of thanksgiving and sacrifice. But also look to others that have filled that motherless vacancy and have had a positive effect in maybe mentoring you in special ways. And maybe we could celebrate them today. So whether I'm thinking about like it being a parade-like fashion, much so like the Indianapolis 500 with those on the back of a 1964 and a half Mustang convertible, or maybe you have a 911 Porsche, or maybe there's a Corvette out there, a red Corvette is what I'm thinking, a Chevy pickup or a Honda minivan, or just sitting at the place of honor at her dinner table. My prayer is that the mothers will find their role significant and valued in the way you relentlessly care and love others. You do not need to be an Indianapolis 500 princess to be celebrated like the royalty that you already are, because we are all prince and princesses of the King of Kings and the Great I Am. You guys have been great. I appreciate you guys listening to me. And let's go ahead and pray. And we'll be released. Lord, we are thankful for mothers and the life they bring and the vision they bring. And they might be the shooter on the deck of that aircraft carrier with the sovereign control tower watching and applauding. And I pray for the direction that they're sending that might be filled with purpose and love. And grant us the means to celebrate motherhood. Sometimes there are women that have filled the gaps and have mothered those that are not biologically theirs. We call them mentors, we call them coaches, we call them teachers, we call them neighbors, friends of the family. We are so thankful for our surrogate mothers that have mentored us as boys and girls and are growing or have grown to men and women. If our mothers have gone from this earth, let us honor them with our memories and their important roles in life as we seek to live virtuously to honor them. We are thankful for Moses' mother, Jochebed, to help guide our time today. Release us with joy and purpose in our hearts. In Christ's name, amen. You guys have a great Mother's Day.
took a breath, you breathed your life in me. You have been so, so kind.